We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer for a rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide us so that we might acquire the information and therefore use it in application. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. When we quit first session, we just embarked upon a conclusion. Once a crown award is confirmed for conveyance, it will be awarded at the evaluation tribunal. But reversionism can prevent it from being presented. And then we noted Revelation 3:11. This actually is a part of the Nike awards that are delineated in the second and third chapters. There are seven of them. This is the second. I will be coming suddenly. Hold on to what you have so that no one may take away your crowns. And so spiritual maturity is a stage in a believer's advance. Once attained, it's not set in stone. Negative volition can intrude into the soul of any person and begin the anfractuous journey through reversionism. And so there are those who do this. They do make the advance, and for whatever reason, they're distracted by events, by people, by systems, and so on. And they therefore dismiss the Word of God and its study as a necessity and are allowed to let the world dictate their future decision making. And since the rapture is imminent, every believer should take the advice that the Lord offers next with the present active imperative of the verb kroteo. It says there to hold fast, to hold fast. The present tense is progressive, indicating that this action must be continuous. You hold fast to what you have and you continue doing that. And put another way, do not ever let go of what you've got. So this can occur because of the deviation from the standards, disinterest, I've got too much to do, things become top priority instead of moving forward in the Word, and therefore a slow but anfractuous process begins, and you swirl into the throes of reversionism. The active voice is directed to the believer that has advanced to spiritual maturity. An imperative mood is a mandate. Continue to hold fast to that which you have acquired. That is the high ground of spiritual maturity. Now, the mandate to hold fast is a warning against reversionism. That's the context we see, because a person is advancing toward a crown award, and he is warned that you do not allow yourself to deviate from the standards because it may not be conveyed to you at the evaluation tribunal. Revelation 3 is church age, and so we're looking forward past the rapture to the evaluation. And he's saying here that there's a possibility that although you're holding fast at the moment, and therefore you want to hold that ground and therefore move onward to spiritual maturity. And so the mandate, hold fast, is a warning against reversionism, and it's followed next by the purpose clause. It's introduced by the conjunction hina. Hina opens up the concept of an order that, and whatever follows that is the issue. The warning now identifies the usual suspects, the masculine singular of the noun madeis, no one. May no one. So individuals are in view here, and what may no one have on their minds? It is to take away, and that's the aorist active subjunctive of lambano. The aorist tense is culminative, insinuating that the act of taking away is already in progress, but the action is brought to a conclusion. And so there's the desire from the dark side, Luciferian influence, and so on, that if there is an advancing believer, then the world is going to present choices for that individual to make that will distract him from the Word of God. And so the dark side is not ignorant of your behavior patterns, character traits, and lifestyle. They watch this. They observe it. They know what you might respond to distract you. And so this happens in the invisible war. It does a play on the mentality of the individual. The mentality is challenged with some lure of some kind, and you're captured by it, and you follow it. Now, most of what you do in life with things outside of studying the Word is, I'm sure, quite legitimate kinds of things people do. What we speak here and what's being emphasized is priority. Top priority is the study of the Word of God. You can do this anywhere. You don't have to be in this room here to do it. We have other methods and ways to grow in grace. We have books. You can read the books. There's about 50 of them over there at the bookcase. And so you can instruct yourself by reading. If you want to listen to other Bible classes or one you've missed, then we have close to 4,000 hours on the website. The class notes go along with each of those, as well as the visuals we use. And so in a 21st century technological era, there's no excuse not to stay current with some kind of progress in your spiritual growth. So in this particular time of history, it is absolutely inexcusable not to continue to move forward in the study of the Word, because it's available everywhere. People tell me in this church that they go on road trips because their jobs take them there, and they can listen to Bible class on a cell phone. I've never done that, but apparently you can do this. They have iPads, whatever that is. You have an iPad. I think Jo Henry has one of those. And she used to listen when she was ill or something to Bible class on an iPhone. Oh, no, it was an iPad, I think. And then we've discovered Roku. And then the 55-inch widescreen HD color TV, 1080p, is how she's watching Bible class today. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Well, anyhow, you don't have an excuse. That's the point. The mandate to hold fast, Hina, in order that, and then Madice, no one, therefore has to do, it is to take away the aorist active subjunctive of lambano. The aorist tense is consummative, insinuating that the act of taking away is already in progress. See, the world is always providing ways to distract you and to get you away from the advance. If you are at war, the enemy is going to try to distract you. You may have a battle plan set up, and you may be executing the battle plan. The enemy, though, has the opportunity to discern what's going on and alter their approach as well. And so you have to have the flexibility to adjust to that, orient and adjust. This happens in your life. You have to orient and adjust to things that occur. It happens in sports. Once you figure out what the other team is doing, then you adjust your defense. If it's the other way around, you adjust your offense. So wherever you go, whatever you do, you have to be alert to the environment in which you function and then orient and adjust. And if you don't have an inventory to do that, then you're going to be overwhelmed by whoever your enemy happens to be. So the active voice indicates the reversionist produced the action of taking away the believer into reversionism. So the believer is not alert to the distraction, and therefore he's lured by it. The subjunctive mood is potential due to the purpose clause. It is potential because it implies a future reference and is therefore qualified as an element of contingency. And the contingency refers to the potentially bad decisions of the advanced believer whose volition is vulnerable to temptations by the dark side. So there's a vulnerability being communicated here. We're all vulnerable. So we have to be alert to that. And when we see that we're being distracted and it's unnecessary distraction, then we have to orient to that. There are some distractions that have to occur in the process of living a life. I remember this example. I've never forgotten it. When I was down in Houston under the colonel, it was during a time in the 70s when we were involved in the Vietnam playing out the Vietnam deal, and then being involved in yet other conflicts around the world. And guys at Baraka who were in the military and were in active duty, they tried at that time to carry along portable cassette tape recorders. And they would listen to Bible class on that, and TNP would actually ship these things to them, and they would try to stay current. But then when they were in an active situation where they would go out on some mandate to do something with the enemy, they would be gone as much as 1 or 2 weeks when they were in harm's way and doing duty. And then they would write to the colonel and say that they were disturbed by this because they couldn't keep up with their Bible studies during that deployment, whatever issue it might have been. And he said, the issue in studying the Word of God is to acquire information. And whether it's military or just your regular life, there are going to be periods of time for application. In other words, you learn what you need to know, and then you put in a circumstance to where you have to apply what you've learned. And so I thought that was supportive of these guys as well as someone who's just living in the angelic conflict. That there are times when it's inculcation, there are times when it's application. And you have to have the stability of thought to recognize one from the other. So sometimes you're in a system of application and you're going to be using the doctrine that you've learned by inculcation. So this is something that you have to have flexibility for, and the more you grow in grace, the more adept you come to recognizing these things and adjusting to them. So I thought that was a good point made by those guys, but we're in the invisible war, so the same thing happens to us from time to time as we're living our lives. Sometimes there are issues that arise that have to be dealt with, and now it's time for application. Now, you're not to use that as an excuse now. Oh, it's time for application. I have to do Bible class for 15 weeks. And those are losers. So, let's see, where'd I go? The active voice indicates that reversionists produce the action of taking away the believer into reversionism. The subjunctive mood is potential due to the purpose clause. Okay, this sets up a potentiality here, and therefore everyone is vulnerable, but doctrine keeps you centered and moving forward. Now, potential culprits include loved ones, friends, or someone you admire whose attractiveness, personality, influence, or social station lure the believer into allowing their distractions to take precedence over making the study of doctrine the number one priority in life. So people can be a distraction. There are many other examples, but people testing is one of the major events that you have to remember is on the agenda. You have disaster testing, sure, everybody recognizes that. But there's thought testing, there's system testing, and probably one of the greatest is people testing. Now, to make the advance to the copacetic spiritual life and acquire the conveyance of escrow blessings, including the crown of righteousness, life, or glory, means there will be efforts by the deceitful spirits to counterattack with doctrines of demons. Now, in 1 Timothy, Paul makes this comment. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in latter periods of time, that would be during the church age. Church age is always in a latter period because the rapture could occur at any moment, you see. In latter periods of time, some shall depart from the faith. In other words, become apostate toward the truth. By the process of concentrating on deceitful communicators, that's a tenured faculty. Deceitful communicators, they make up a deceitful faculty. Teaching doctrines, that's the curriculum of demons in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. We teach the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics, and that's inside the classroom of your soul where you're studying the Word, acquiring divine thought for application. There is a cosmic academy, and in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, there is a curriculum. And the curriculum is designed to cause believers who are positive to deviate from those standards and move over to the thinking of the world. So we're in constant stress, a back and forth between the Divine Academy and the Cosmic Academy. Each has a curriculum, each has a faculty. Now The system's modus operandi includes propaganda, disinformation, and ideology, and each needs to be defined. So you will find in the section we're now entering into, application in personal life, your combat with the dark side, the situations you have with people, with thought, with systems, where you work, whatever organization you're involved in, school or whatever, that is a system. There's a thought process wherever you go. It may be legitimate or not. There are people involved, and so they have to be dealt with as well. All of this has to function under grace. And we've got a modus operandi from the dark side, and it has to be understood. And you see this play out, and it's always present. But presently in our society, it is upfront, it is personal, and it's in our face. So each of these needs to be defined. First of all, propaganda. The systematic propagation of a cause or of information reflecting the views or interests of those advocating such a cause. You fill in the blanks about the cause here. But organizations have a goal, an agenda, and a cause. And they promote it with propaganda. We're speaking dark side, players on the dark side. And they always play on emotions. If you are a person that can be manipulated by your emotions rather than thought, then you're vulnerable to propaganda because you can't recognize it. Therefore, disinformation comes next. Deliberately misleading information announced publicly or leaked by a government or especially by an intelligence agency in order to influence public opinion. Now, how'd you like that definition? Does it have any application today? Do you think I just made that up? Footnote. All three of these come from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language. Words are important. The definitions of words are more important. And it's interesting to me, if you go to the dictionary, look up a word, find its definition, and think to yourself, is this applicable to me today? Can I use this information, this word, to develop an idea for my personal application? Do you understand that it takes words to form a sentence? It takes a sentence to form an idea. And it takes an idea for you to be able to make application of that idea to your life and circumstances. So we got words here. And so this is nothing unusual or different. It just so happens as I decided to write this, and it's not been recently, it's been a couple of weeks ago. And then I go to the dictionary. I always wonder, what do the words mean? I go to dictionaries. And so you wonder, why does he do this? So you'll know what the words mean. Then when you know what they mean, you ask the question, is this applicable to my daily life? Well, duh. Propaganda, the systematic propagation of a cause, make up the cause, or of information reflecting the views or interest of those advocating such a cause, fill in the blank. Disinformation, deliberately misleading information announced publicly or leaked by a government or especially by an intelligence agency in order to influence public opinion. Disinformation is a term, actually, that was in play in communist Russia back in the 20th century. They were experts in disinformation. And the disinformation was directed toward the United States of America because we're involved in what was then called the Cold War. And so they had disinformation, which means a lie, but it's presented as the truth. Then finally, there's ideology. By the way, you can go to your dictionaries, and I do often. If you want to know how to pronounce a word, go to a dictionary. And it seems like the accepted pronunciation for ideology and ideological and so on is ideological and ideology, and there's no such pronunciation. It may be secondary, but it's not primary. So ideology, a set of doctrines or beliefs that are shared by the members of a social group or that form the basis of a political, economic, or other system. A set of doctrines or beliefs that are shared by the members of a social group or that form the basis of a political, economic, or other system. Now, there are many ideologies out there, some more prominent than others. Now, all modern-day conspiracies hide behind an organized ideology, which Karl Marx defined as, quote, a pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil that conceals but advances the economic interest of a class. In other words, Karl is promoting the economic interest of communism. So that, of course, was written back when Carl was doing his writing. This is carried out in the United States by NGOs. These are non-governmental organizations. You'll be familiar with some if were I to quote the list, but I'm not here to do that. You use your information to fill in these blanks. But what is an NGO? Well, Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, many of which are designated as 501c3 nonprofits, including religious, educational, charitable, scientific, and literary organizations. There are actually 29 categories of 29 categories of 501c organizations that are tax exempt. There are 29 of them. Now, there's a multiplicity of organizations that have a 501c classification. 501c3, I've given you examples because we have two of them here. Gary's makes the third one. Those two I mentioned in-house here. There are other 501c's like 501c2 and 4 and 5 and 6 on down to 29. It is within these 29 categories that organizations can be certified to carry out their stated agenda. Churches don't have to do anything. I mean, they're separate because of Tommy's wall. So we just simply say we're a church. But Joe Griffin Media Ministries had to send a thing to Lois Lerner to say, we're going to establish a 501c3 organization. They want to know, what are you going to do? Said, well, we're going to print books, we're going to record Bible classes, we're going to distribute notes, and blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, okay. They said, we get to be one of those. So whoever founds one of these 501c's has to tell the IRS what they plan to do, and do they fall under the aegis of one of these 29. For many of these, the proclaimed ideology is in reality a facade to conceal a hidden agenda. It accepts the fact that in order to advance the interest of the conspiracy, a false front must be developed and then promoted. Now, I'm telling things that are simply basic stuff regarding NGOs, but applicable to our present day if you keep up with things. All conspiracies have leaders whose objectives are power, control, and influence. They need a cause, a mission, or an ideology behind which they can conceal while advancing these objectives. Consequently, they approach a vulnerable group of people who can be controlled by flattery, money, fame, or attention. Easy targets are members of special interest groups who are in the cosmic systems functioning under crusader arrogance. The conspiracy leaders feed the lust pattern of the crusaders. This is easy to see in our society how this is going on. Guys that hide behind the wall are the ones who are manipulating the puppets on the other side that you see. Fred Soros is one of them. Now, he comes up with the money. He comes up with the money, and he feeds the money into certain organizations that want to promote his hidden agenda. And we'll see as we move through our definition here that the hidden agenda is concealed behind the wall, but the desires of the crusaders are on the other side, and that is assumed to be the purpose of it all. Consequently, they approach a vulnerable group of people who can be controlled by flattery, money, fame, or attention. Easy targets are members of special interest groups who are in the cosmic systems functioning under crusader arrogance as a part of the cosmic system. The conspiracy leaders feed the lust pattern of the crusaders by assuring them that their special interest is not only valid, but is being ignored. Such appropriation is the catalyst which unites the crusaders with the conspirators. And the word there is approbation. Such approbation is the catalyst which unites the crusaders with the conspirators. The crusaders become pawns in a strategy to achieve some unstated and hidden agenda of the conspiracy. Crusaders are out front, conspiracy is concealed. The conspirators. Now, this is all cosmic system, this is all invisible war, this is all Luciferian motivation here. Nothing new under the sun. All of this went on in cosmic Russia, and we were trying to fight what's called the Cold War against this kind of thing. That's 20th century stuff. We're in the 21st century, nothing's changed. What emerge are ideologies under the Marxist definition. The Crusaders become the mouthpiece of the conspiracy. Their philosophy is really a verbal veil which conceals, while at the same time advances, the hidden agenda. You have to figure out what the hidden agenda is. If you're smart enough and understand these principles, you can do that. The Crusaders' public agenda: make claims that the municipal police departments of America are prejudiced against black citizens. Make the claim. Now, that's coming from the Crusaders. They make the public claim. The media covers this and then broadcast it. The Crusaders' public agenda, make claims that the municipal police departments of America are prejudiced against black citizens. The strategy is to choose a situation that can be manipulated in such a way so that the guilty citizen is portrayed as an innocent victim of police brutality. Media reporters wittingly or unwittingly interview alleged witnesses who contend that the citizen, with his hands raised in surrender, was wantonly gunned down by a trigger-happy policeman. There is no doubt that somewhere in America, at some time, a scenario such as this occurred. But it did not occur in Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, or Dallas, Texas. What did occur in Ferguson was the coming out party of Black Lives Matter, with character assaults on Officer Darren Wilson, County Prosecutor Robert McCullough, and some members of the grand jury. The conspirators' hidden agenda was the systematic breakdown of respect for law and order. The conspirators' hidden agenda, the systematic breakdown of respect for law and order, loss of authority by uniformed police officers, and the empowerment of enraged citizens to conclude they could participate in anarchy without fear of retribution. Now, Black Lives Matter is a well-funded terrorist organization, probably with a 501c3 designation, which has morphed into a ready response team to foment chaos when a person is shot by a police officer. If the major desire of the conspirators was to foment a breakdown of law and order, then they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Now, that breakdown for you tells you what goes on constantly in the invisible war. The dark side foments all of this. They have hidden agenda. The biggest hidden agenda that needs to be recognized by the dark side is they want to delay the rapture. Lucifer and his minions, his fallen angels, are done once the rapture occurs. They'll have a second chance like overtime. We go into overtime once the rapture occurs. And in overtime, they're going to pull out all stops to pull off a global government. That'll be the beast dictator and so on. Jesus Christ, they'll make progress, but Jesus Christ will come back and he'll put a stop to the whole thing. Now listen to me. Police are designed to uphold law and order. They get to use violence in the case that those who are disrupting law and order have to be subdued in some way. Sometimes somebody loses their life in the process. At the second advent, the blood will flow as high as the horses' bridles. Jesus Christ will bring all of this madness and chaos and lying to a complete, total end and set up the perfect millennial kingdom. But these people who have been led by Lucifer all these many years, from one generation to the next, hiding behind a rhetorical veil, promoting their hidden agenda, bringing chaos but advance in Lucifer's strategy, that's all coming down like a mighty stream. Progressive ideology is a pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil that conceals, while it advances, a hidden agenda. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Thomas Sowell. He is a fellow who taught at Stanford University for so many years. He's in his 80s now. He used to write a wonderful column. And this is something that I stole from him. I'll have to see if I can read what I wrote. It was adapted from Thomas Sowell, The Vision of the Anointed, Self-Congratulation as a Basis for Social Policy. The book was published in 1995, and I pulled this from page 8. Here's what he wrote, and I summarize this. The title is Crises, How to Create and Use for Political Gain. Stage 1, the crisis. Some situation exists whose negative aspects the anointed propose to eliminate, and is characterized as a crisis. Now, the anointed are those usually progressives that think they know everything. Now, you've decided to characterize something as a crisis. Second stage, the solution. Policies to end the crisis are advanced by the anointed that will lead to a beneficial result A. Critics say they will lead to a detrimental result Z. That's usually the conservatives. No, if you do that, this will happen instead. Then we have phase 3, the results. The policies instituted led to detrimental result Z. Stage 4, the response. Those who attribute detrimental result Z to the result are dismissed as simplistic for ignoring the complexities involved and assert things would have been much worse were it not for their programs. Now, that sort of sums up what I've just told you about the strategies of the dark side. They never, ever, ever give up. They're motivated by the dark side. They're motivated by Luciferian strategies and tactics. And if you don't have doctrine, you're going to be lured into their web, and so many are today. And it all began, as we'll study as we move forward on progressive education, it all started at the turn of the 20th century in this country. It has therefore metastasized now, and that's why we have blood in the streets. That's why we have chaos in Washington. That's why everybody's screaming at each other. That's why nobody seems to know what's right and what's wrong. That is the strategy of the dark side, and I've just given you the play-by-play of how all of this plays out. There's nothing new under the sun. We'll talk about progressive education on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, thank you for the privilege of studying these things. It is our prayer the Holy Spirit will inform us, instruct us, give us information on how to protect our souls from the strategies of the dark side. And we're grateful to you for providing this for us in your scripture. Therefore, we see it played out in everyday life in the 21st century. We therefore have the power through your word to protect our souls, and therefore move forward as honorable members of Client Nation America. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.